Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1663, air date March 6th, 2026.
All right, good evening, everyone. This is Dr. Shiva Ayadure. Today, we're going to be discussing in our town hall, what is a real war when you really look at U.S.-Israel, which is one unit versus Iran, in the context of power, profit, control versus truth, freedom, health. So let's go to our town hall. We have we do these town halls every Thursdays at 11 a.m. and 8 p.m. And the intent of these town halls, it's a part of our Truth, Freedom, Health Institute, which is really an educational institute, which has three elements: theory of system science, community, a global community of people from all over the world, of people who are founded or intent on raising their consciousness, which is very, very hard for the swarm to understand. They can't monetize that people want to raise consciousness in the realm of truth, freedom, health. And then the third part is action. So theory, community, and action. Those are the three things that our movement focuses on. The theory is to provide people a foundational knowledge of system science, which helps them see the world as it truly is. And the second part is you can't do this alone. So we have a community, and that community involves people who are just coming in from all over the world. We have people who take the Get Off the Plantation course, which is free to everyone. Then other people who progress if they want to become a warrior scholar. And then we have a leadership program. So that's really the curriculum piece. And it involves books and content and courses and video, as much as you want to take. And then the other part of it is the actual action, getting out and meeting people. Our slogan is, the future is offline. And we've created an entire methodology of how people can interact with people, participate, and actually deliver real solutions. My running for United States Senate is part of one of those solutions. I'm a solution. But in this model, it's not when I say I'm running, our model is very different. Our goal is to get all of you to run to build this bottoms-up movement. So it's very, very different. So we have people from all over the world galvanizing people in Massachusetts. We now have a whole array of local organizers, thousands who've built up in Massachusetts, and they're going to go run for office, to deliver me a solution. So it's a very, very different model. So I want to let everyone know that those of you who are new, get involved, come to these open houses, go to Get Off the Plantation, and learn, because without this knowledge, without the theory, the community, and the action, you're really going to be lost. And so that brings us to today's talk. As the slide says, if we can put it back up again, there's a war underway. And that war was initiated by US and Israel against Iran. But we want to peel away the layer of this apparent war, the real war, the war that's taking place, but really the discuss a real war. And the real war is the forces of power, profit, control really subjugating or attempting to subjugate the forces of truth, freedom, health. So let's talk about this. So while I'm doing this, Suresh, if you could find on my feed, if you go down, there's a graph that I put up that just came out. Once you find it, then you can put it up. So if everyone knows, on February 27th, depending on where you were, if you're on the West Coast, it was February 27th, around 11:30 a.m. 27th. If you're on the East Coast, 2:30 a.m. on the 28th, the United States and Israel launched a attack on Iran. Now, that was being done right in the middle of a series of negotiations that were taking place between two real estate guys, Jared Kushner and Witkoff. Jared Kushner, and we can have a whole discussion on him, but he's never been involved in any type of, idea of understanding how politics work, but he was thrust into being a negotiator for the United States. Quite extraordinary. But anyway, nonetheless, the foreign minister of Iran said that those meetings were very productive. It was 6 hours of very positive outcomes. And right after that, the United States and Israel bombed Iran. That's the apparent facts. So the negotiations were essentially a ruse. And we know those in power, particularly the landed elites, when they first came here to the United States, they practiced the same policy with the Native Americans, right? They promised them one thing, you know, say they were going to do this treaty and then screw them over. So this is standard operating procedure that these guys actually just want to plunder Iran. And the intent was never to actually solve anything, to come to some resolution. So that is what took place. And that occurred on the 27th/28th. Well, guess what? If you go look at my tweet, I said, you know, I believe something's going to happen on the 27th and 28th. And I put it out as a question because it was 93 years ago to that day, exact date, in 1933, that another fascist by the name of Adolf Hitler burnt down the Reichstag to assume absolute power in Germany. And you can go look this up. So it was also the same day the first 9/11 took place, you know, in the first WTC Center. So I'm a big believer that consciousness reflects itself in structure, timelines. You know, you can look at your body, how someone talks, how they behave. Consciousness reflects itself in structure, structure of time, space, etc. It's a pretty deep concept, but it actually makes a lot of sense, as above, so below. So our discussion today is really about consciousness. What is the consciousness paradigm? Now, if you look at the model of existing imperialism, monopoly capitalism, exploitation, they cannot fathom the concept of people wanting to raise their consciousness. The people who come to our movement are people who are not interested in coming to our movement as some vehicle to go sell real estate. It's not a real estate seminar. It's not a seminar to make money doing something. It's about people are attracted. I don't even want to say the word attracted, but people are drawn to wanting to raise their consciousness. And what resonates with them is our curriculum as an institute, as an organization, as a activist organization. I mean, we have multiple dimensions, is to raise people's consciousness. And the raising of that consciousness is reflected in how our people talk to others, how they articulate, how we distinguish ourselves by always hitting on the central point that we are here to build a bottoms-up movement. The future is offline. We must shatter the swarm. Okay? We have these very fundamental concepts. So it's about raising consciousness. That's a fundamental core of what we're trying to do, raising people's consciousness. About 2 years ago, we had a professor from Tufts, an economics professor. We do these open houses once a month. And by the way, you guys should go to our events calendar and look at it. But he came. We had about 100 people show up to our building. And, you know, we had some dinner and stuff. And during dinner, he said, you know, I'm really fascinated by what you guys are doing because I can't economically model this. He said, I can't model the fact, I can't put you guys on a spreadsheet to figure out, like, what are the economics here? You see? So the imperial economics model has no model for the desire to raise consciousness. Do you see what I'm saying? They do have models about the desire for people to want to buy something, consumerism or advertising. So you can build mathematical models and business plans based on that. But what is the business plan to raise people's consciousness? Frankly, it doesn't exist. It doesn't compute for them. But if you fundamentally look at US and Israel, you're looking at two, by the way, we have to distinguish when I say US and Israel, there's two US and Israels. The people, by the way, on October 7th, just a week before that, the people of Israel were close to 1 million of them were out in the streets wanting to strangle Netanyahu. They wanted to get rid of him. And literally on the eve of this massive protest in Israel, you know, this so-called attack takes place by somehow Hamas coming in on gliders, you know, undetected. And by the way, if you go look at literally about a year before, 10 years before that, on the front page of The Economist is pictures of Hamas gliders and Netanyahu flying over Israel. So you would be a fucking idiot to think that this attack was not executed by Mossad, okay? You can go watch a movie called The Little Drummer Girl, and it's literally about how the Israeli Mossad would do attacks on itself to give it the reason to go bomb other people, you know? And the stories are coming out that Israel is right now is actually bombing Saudi Arabia to further, incense people, right? So remember, Mossad's slogan is through deception, thou shalt do war. Through deception, thou shalt do war, okay? So it's right there, okay? That's their slogan. So the nature of this beast, the U.S.-Israeli swarm, which is very different than the people of the United States have nothing to gain by any of these imperialist wars, nothing. In fact, who goes fights these imperialist wars? I don't see Don Jr., who goes and, by the way, kills and shoots innocent animals and tigers and elephants and all this kind of stuff, right, from far away. Let him go fight. He won't fight. Jared Kushner won't fight. The Zionist children won't fight. It is everyday working class people who go fight these wars. And by the way, let me just give you an important point to understand. You can start looking at this even in the context of Vietnam. Vietnam was a very small country, 8/10 the size of California. A lot of people don't know this, but Iran is 4 times the size of California. It's massive, rugged terrain. It's basically, you can think about it, 1/3 the size of the United States or a little bit more, okay? So Iran is not a Vietnam, but we have to understand the Vietnamese defeated the United States imperialist government, okay? And they had three very important factors. One was that the people were galvanized. The people weren't fighting because they were in the army as a salary. They were fighting because they were actually dedicated, committed to their country, right? It's a very, very important feature of what took place in Vietnam. You had the galvanization of people wanting to fight. Second was it was asymmetric warfare, right? The Vietnamese had dug tunnels. They were in jungles. You know, young 17-year-old kids growing up in New York had never witnessed anything like this. So it's seriously asymmetric warfare that they'd never seen before. And one of the most important things to understand is that the aspect of dedication to fight is far different than people going to this country, you know, 10,000 miles away, being dropped in and not knowing what the fuck they're doing. And that was evidenced by the fact at the end of the Vietnam War in 1971, 18%, one out of five of the casualties, the U.S. casualties, was from soldiers shooting their own combat officers. Let me repeat that. 18% of the casualties at the end of the Vietnam War were soldiers, everyday soldiers who would, their combat officers were West Point, you know, mainly very wealthy kids who got to be officers, would be telling these poor black and poor white and poor Hispanic kids to go kill some yellow guy. And they said, fuck you. And at night, they would throw grenades into their tents. That was called a frag. And they were fragging the officers. Okay, a lot of people don't know this. When I tweeted this out, someone said, how do you know? What's the evidence? I don't think that's right. Well, the numbers were hidden, and you actually have to, and I did a long 10-part threaded post to help people understand this. But when you unravel it, you know, in 1971, they said only 333 plus officers were killed, okay, from these fragging incidents. Well, so they would take 333, divide it by 150,000, which were all the soldiers, and they would say, oh, that was only 0.18%, right? 1.8 at about 1,000, roughly, okay? But it doesn't tell the full picture because they were including everyone, clerks and cooks. Well, those people weren't combat officers. So when you take the fact that there were literally, for every 1,000 soldiers, there was 100 officers, you know, it's really 1 to 10, and you break it up, that 333 out of whatever they had used, 150,000, really comes down to 1/10 divided by that. And that comes to right away 1.8%, not 0.18%. Then you have to add in the fact that at that time, of the 150,000 people that were in Vietnam, only 12,000 were in combat. People were getting ready to go home. That adds another factor of 10. Anyway, if you work it out, it comes out to 18% of the casualties. So the reason I want to share that fact is that the Vietnamese people were galvanized. And the United States Army of everyday working people, they would go to these jungles. Black people would go to a jungle, and Ho Chi Minh, who was a leader of the Viet Cong, Vietnamese people, had constructed big statues of a black man in chains. And he goes, and remember, in 1968, 67, black people didn't have the right to vote. And he said, black man, what are you doing fighting for a country where you have no civil rights? So Vietnam, the Vietnamese people were galvanized bottoms up to fight. American soldiers, poor blacks, poor whites, working class brown people, all these people were sent there to fight a war for imperialism. It had nothing to do with the advancement of working people. So they got highly demoralized. And after a while, they realized those yellow people are not my enemy. The guy leading me, who's an officer, who's nothing ever happens to him, is my enemy. So those conditions occurred. And I want to share that with you to think that those conditions cannot occur again. Now, if you come to US and Israel, Suresh, if you can find that graph, on February 28th, Gallup, which is the number one polling organization in the United States, published this. And very few people picked up on this. If you can zoom on that, that graph is something interesting. You notice what's important to understand in graphs is a directionality. And what do you see here? If you zoom in, the blue represents American sympathy towards Palestinians. The green represents American sympathy towards Israelis. Notice it's nosediving. If you can zoom in, if you can just zoom in right at that crossover point, zoom in to the right. So look at that point. That is nearly, you can see that graph is almost 80 degrees downward, which means down to 36%. And the other one's going up to 41%. So 41% of Americans are pro-Palestinian. And it's growing, okay? That graph was released on February 27th, okay? The night before the United States and Israel attacked Iran. Iran has been militarily, through its proxies like Hezbollah and others, actually supporting the defense of the Palestinian people who've been butchered. Absolute genocide. So that is the will of the American people. A democracy is supposed to be based on the will of the people. We don't have a fucking democracy in the United States. There was the resolution that was just passed by the Senate not to have Congress decide if a war is supposed to take place. The articles of the United States Constitution demand that decision for war be done by Congress. That's one of the fundamentals of a republic, that Congress makes that decision. Because, you know, the framer said it is always the executive branch always wants to start a war. So that decision must go to Congress. So we don't have a democracy in the United States. People, you know, politicians don't listen because we know 95% of the United States Congress is owned by AIPAC, which is a Zionist lobby. It funds them. I'm one of the first candidates to be supported by AZAPAC, which is the anti-Zionist lobby, okay? Never existed before. So we're living historic times. But when you look at that graph, the American people, it's quite amazing. I back in 1980, when I used to talk about anti-Zionism and support for the Palestinian people, people would look cross-eyed. But now that has changed. It's massive. And it has occurred because of the suffering of the Palestinian people so visually displayed openly. But the United States government, the United States swarm, does not represent the will of any of us. It represents the will of the 0.1%, the Jared fucking Kushners, the Steve Witkoffs, the Howard Lutnicks, all the people who suck Zionist cock, and they were in the Epstein network, okay? This is a reality. It is pretty disgraceful where the United States swarm has gone. And that is the forces of power, profit, control. They don't want peace. And it's literally out of George Orwell, board of peace, right? That's what Trump created, a board of peace. And he sent $1 billion of our tax dollars into it, okay? and which goes to all of his friends. It's the most disgraceful level of corruption we've seen. And it's not because of the Republicans. It's because of the collusion of both parties, Republicans and Democrats, left and right. So this war, the real war, is the total advancement, absolute advancement, absolute power of the forces of power, profit, control. And again, let me remind everyone, 93 years ago to the day is when Hitler burned down the Reichstag and blamed it on someone else and used it to seize absolute control in Germany. So those forces are taking place. By the way, on X, everyone knows, or Twitter, whatever the fuck you want to call it, or on social media, we were the first ones to show that the government controls social media in the historic, in my historic lawsuit, 2020. Well, there's a guy called Kim.com, and I've talked to him, and he likes to suck Elon Musk's cock. You know, oh, because when he and I were talking, he wanted to introduce me to Elon Musk, and he read my tweets. He goes, oh my God, you're attacking Elon. Elon, Elon is so great. You're attacking Elon. You should remove your tweets. I said, what the fuck are you talking about? That was 2 years ago. Well, now he's seeing his own tweets get shackled, and he goes, oh, something has changed. Nothing has changed, Kim.com. Elon has always been a Zionist cocksucker. And this says it's always been the policy of the swarm to control people. And social media was a vehicle that they did it through. And we are the ones who discovered that. So anyway, the real war is we're seeing massive consolidation of power, profit, control. And the only opposition to that is the movement for truth, freedom, health. It's not these grifters. It's not Fucker Carlson. It's not any other force except the force of raising consciousness. It is consciousness raising, which will ultimately end this real war. And that consciousness raising can only come from you. Embracing the fact that there is a fundamental way that nature works, fundamental laws. And when you understand those fundamental laws, you can see the future, which is why we've been always on the money, over and over and over again, always on the money, predicting things. People think we're some shamans, but it isn't. When you understand the laws of system science, you can see the future because there are fundamental principles. There's nothing not to understand, okay? Because when people steal my content, like we talked about Mike Adams, people are like, I don't understand why he did that. Well, he does that because he doesn't want to build a bottoms-up movement. He wants to get views and clicks. You see, once you understand that, there's the majority of these social media influencers and those who want to be people in power are into maximizing power, profit, and control. They don't want to unleash truth, freedom, health. They'll even steal concepts to support this avarice over here. So when you break this down, the real war is a war of, frankly, consciousness. And we've talked about this for ever since we started our movement. We are raising people's consciousness. They want to destroy people's consciousness. The forces of power, profit, and control want to go to the lowest state of consciousness. The human existence is based on three types of consciousness. One is this very emotional, instinctive, you know, sort of like an iguana sees a fly come across and tries to grab that fly, right? Or a frog, you know, puts his tongue out. It's just very instinctive, very emotionally based. They debase humanity to that state of consciousness. Then there's the intellectual consciousness where you use your mind to solve problems, right? So that can be used either way for this debasement or for advancement. And then the third state of consciousness is a deep understanding of how the universe works, and you build an intuitive understanding, that's intuition. Now, we as a movement are working at that level. We are working to teach people how things are interconnected so you raise your intuitive sense of consciousness. I don't talk about this a lot, but that's what we're doing. Because when you raise that intuitive sense, you can see things as they truly are. You don't get confused. You can look at a booby fucking Kennedy and you know he's full of shit, and then you can unravel intellectually why. You don't have to wait to be fucked over. You don't have to be, oh, I voted for him. I didn't think he was going to become like this. Well, if you had studied the knowledge of system science, your consciousness would be raised and you can see the directionality of who people truly are. So what's happening right now, if you look at Iran and the US, by the way, I don't know if you saw on Twitter, you can find it. You have all these crazy Christian evangelicals surrounding Trump. Did everyone see this? Praying for him. I mean, these are the woman, Suresh, you may want to find that video with this woman, Paula. This is nuts. Okay. So the evangelical Christians have nothing to do with Christ. By the way, just as no different than the fanatical Hindus have nothing to do with real ideas about Hinduism, right? Same thing, I'm sure, in Islam. But what's happened is one of the ways that you fuck people over is you use religion. Religion, racism, these are very powerful weapons that you can use to debase people's consciousness, to take them down to the level of emotional reaction. So you have military people. Pete Hegseth, their defense secretary or secretary of war, is openly talking about Armageddon coming, that this is a war of, I don't know if you know this. That's how they're talking. These people are fucking nuts. Okay? But they want to get people riled up on religious grounds, no different than, you know, black people versus white people, brown people versus black people, this kind of shit. Because these are very animalistic things you can raise in people, their beliefs or how they look. These are like at a very instinctive debase level. So that's what they're going after. They want to get people riled up so we as working people fight each other while they loot the world. And the looting of the world is the following. You ever wonder why the United States went into Venezuela? Well, Venezuela has the most amount of crude oil, okay, on the planet. Okay, so these imperialists, whether it's U.S. imperialists or Chinese imperialists, it's one wing of the swarm wanting to fight another wing of the swarm. Chinese bougie people wanting to fight the European bougie people, and they want to split the world. Well, so the United States' larger game here is to maximize more power, profit, control. So in that worldview, Russia and China, the oligarchs there are the enemies of the oligarchs in the United States. Well, if you study a little bit about what's called the Strait of Hormuz, which is in the Persian Gulf, where most of the oil flows from the Middle East out, 7 to 10 countries contribute that oil. This little piece called the Strait of Hormuz is where that oil flows through. So the United States knows that 60 to 70% of China's oil comes from there. 60 to 70% comes from the Middle East. In fact, from Iran, to be specific. So you start a war, throw all sorts of shit into it. These guys are, say, the most racist shit, right? Start a war. But what did you do before the war? You went and took over Venezuela. So you had a backup plan. You have all this crude oil. So you start this war, which is basically going to put significant pressure on China, right? So China, by the way, sent in destroyers this morning to escort their oil out of the Strait of Hormuz. Iran has said, we will not shoot up Iranian or Russian tankers, but we will shoot everyone else, okay? So you have this situation where the U.S., one wing of the swarm, wants to go after another wing of the swarm, again, for power, profit, control, and they will do it even to risk the lives of all of us. So that phenomenon is taking place. And then you layer on top of that religious fanaticism, which says we're fighting a holy war between, you know, Islam and Christianity, which is happening right now. And all of you, for educational purposes, should go see this crazy video with these evangelical fanatics who are all Zionists. And to repeat, you don't have to be Jewish to be a Zionist. In fact, 80% of the Zionists are Muslims, Hindus, and Christians, okay, or more. So people need to understand. So here is this thing. And if you see the woman in the red on the right, she's a nut job, absolute nut job, okay? The woman to the right, she's Trump's to the right, but Yeah, play this. I want you to play this. Can you put on the sound and play this? This is Trump's spiritual advisor. Can you put on the sound? You may have to, I think you have to choose the sound. Okay, so this is Trump's spiritual advisor. And they're calling these people, by the way, Ayatollah, I don't know if you know what that means. Does anyone know what that means? Ayatollah does not mean like crazy person who wants to blow up 9/11. No, Ayatollah basically means like teacher, doctor, you know? It's a title of scholar. Now, so they're calling those people crazy, and this person is supposed to be sane, okay? This is Trump's spiritual advisor. We don't hear sound. Can you play the sound, please? You have to hit that little box when you share the sound. But I want you guys to hear this because, and it's not like they're nut jobs. The swarm is creating this dialectic. Here you go.
Strike until you have victory for every enemy that is aligned against you. Let there be that we would strike the ground, for you will give us victory, God. I hear a sound of abundance of rain. I hear a sound of victory. I hear a sound of shouting and singing. I hear a sound of victory. I hear a sound of an abundance of rain. I hear a sound of victory. I hear a sound of an abundance of rain. I hear a sound of victory. The Lord says it is done. The Lord says it is done. The Lord says it is done. For I hear victory, 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 victory in the quarters of heaven. In the quarters of heaven, victory, victory, victory.
So
victory,
anyway,
victory, victory.
So you
victory.
Can see what someone's
for angels are being so, released right
on.
Now.
So if you can stop. So Marco Rubio said Iran is run by lunatics, religious fanatics. Lunatics, what is this? What the fuck is this? Okay? So you can see how the swarm can propagandize people to make them think that, I mean, Iran has been around for 3,000 years, right? If you go back again to the Trump thing, you'll see this woman is his spiritual advisor leading his prayer. Basically, they say we should go fucking kill all these people. Armageddon's coming. So I just want you to understand that they're using religion to unleash this hatred. Does this make sense? And these people all believe that, you know, the Armageddon and, you know, Israel is some great nation that is in alignment with Jesus Christ, the teachings of Christ. So this is where we have come to. It is a very low state of consciousness. Our movement is a very high degree of consciousness. And that is what the real war is. It is between these two worldviews. Our worldview is that working people, those who sow should reap their rewards. Their view is those should just reap because they plunder people. We have more weapons, we're just going to kill you. That is a very different worldview than a worldview of we are all brothers and sisters, that you may be racially different, ethnically different, religious difference, but that has nothing to do with our fundamental unity as human beings, that we all struggle together and we all want to live a better life. They don't view it that way. They view it the small, a few must control the many, and all of us many are just useless people to be used. And that is the philosophy of Zionism. That is the philosophy of Brahmanism. That is the philosophy of Nazism. Everything else you see is to compel people over here to fight among each other. So it is really about truth, freedom, help, a very different state of consciousness, and power, profit, control. Those people in our movement, whatever life's journey has brought them, they want to understand the dynamics of how the universe operates, and they've interconnected that view with actual practical things of what you do here and now, not sitting on some fucking mountaintop and meditating on their fucking navel, because many of those people ended up on Epstein's Island, okay? Like Deepak fucking Chopra that came out. So our movement is a very practical movement. It is a very deep movement, theory, community, and action. And it is that force of consciousness versus this very debased force of power, profit, control. That's what the real fight is going on. And if you consider Iran on a big picture, who on this world stage is defending the Palestinian people? I mean, forget if you like Iran or not. Right now, there even CBS News admitted it. Even after Khomeini was shot, there are protests. People are coming up. People who didn't even like Khomeini are coming out. And the country's been unified. Massive rallies all over, which, by the way, you put it up and Elon Musk suppresses it. So you have a country that has been galvanized, no different than what happened in Vietnam when the French colonialists invaded Vietnam. So they have that very powerful phenomenon. They have asymmetric warfare. People don't understand that the Iranians can produce 100 missiles per month. Marco Rubio admitted it. The U.S., so for every missile that flies, you need an interceptor. Well, we're only producing 5 to 6 interceptors, and we're running out. Now, why would Marco Rubio on open TV after they attack Iran say, oh, you know, they're producing 20 times more weapons than we can take down? In my view, this is being done to potentially justify dropping a nuke on them, because you say we can't keep up with them, so we have the right to nuke them. So you're dealing with seriously fucking evil people. And this is our United States government. And politicians, our leaders, reflect our consciousness. So over the last 50 years, the United States' consciousness has been driven down by the entertainment industry, by Hollywood, by academia, scumbags, by the entire model of power, profit, control. It has debased people. My running for United States Senate, our running for US Senate, gives people an opportunity to raise their consciousness. Why don't we have a leader like Dr. Shiva in the Senate or as US president? What's wrong with that? Donald fucking Trump? Bankruptcy, bankruptcy, bankruptcy. He's never worked a day in his fucking life. 35,000 times mentioned in the Epstein files. The most number one person mentioned in the Epstein files. So the American people must ask and reflect on their own state of consciousness. Your leaders, our leaders, reflect our state of consciousness. The Truth for Health movement is really the tip of the spear. We are the light that can lead people to a higher state of consciousness by providing people not some religion, but actual scientific system science, actual real community of amazing people, actual actions that you can do door to door to door. So my run for United States Senate, wherever you are in the world, it gives you an opportunity to experience a bottoms-up movement. What that actually is, we have mobilized Massachusetts in a very powerful way, and we're going to take it in phases. And all of you can be part of that, so you can actually tangibly understand what is a bottoms-up movement. Independent of what the swarm does, we're going offline and building this. That's the action. By doing that, you get to connect with the community. And through that process, you can come that way and also learn the foundational theories. But without theory of system science, without a community, an organizational structure like we've built painstakingly, without the right action, you'll be fucking lost and you will get drawn into this world of debased power, profit, control. That's what this war is about. This war is not about one country versus another. It is about a major inflection point in history, about which way is consciousness going to go? Is it going to go the way of power, profit, control, or is it going to go the way of truth, freedom, health? That's where we're at. Fortunately, our movement exists. Fortunately for this world, my run for United States Senate gives people an opportunity to see what can happen if we galvanize ourselves together and our leaders reflect us. Again, the American people, for the first time in U.S. history, do not support Israel in the amount numbers they used to. They're going the other direction. This is massive. It shows what happened when people start educating others. That's what occurred. You may remember 2 years ago, I put out that video. I'm the only candidate who will not suck Zionist cock. okay? And people would attack me for cursing. Now every fucking person curses. All these people, oh, I don't think you should curse, Dr. Shiva. Oh, really? They're all cursing. Not because it comes from their heart. They're realizing when people saw our videos, there's real anger among the masses. I simply reflected that being from the masses. But they don't really have real anger. They're just doing that to get views and clicks. Understand the difference. Our movement is a real deal. We have all these three features, the curriculum, the community, and the activities that you can do. This is the only way out. And that is what needs to be built. So the real war, US and Israel and Iran, represents a worldview of consciousness. The people in Iran are fucking galvanized. The United States government is going to have to take all of them out. It's not going to be an easy war. In fact, Kane, who's the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, told Trump, you're not going to get this war done in 3 days, idiot. It's going to be a long, drawn-out war if you go into this. Trump needs to go into war. He needs to cover up the Epstein shit that more than likely he's involved in. Netanyahu is being indicted in his own country. People hate him. He needs a war. And the greater Israel model is to expand Israel for Zionism. This has nothing to do with us. The people of the world, the working people of the world, gain nothing from this. Zero. Zilch. Any one of you who has children in the military, get them out. Why doesn't Jared Kushner go? Why doesn't Melania go? I mean, all these people, let them go fucking fight their wars. We have nothing to gain. Zero. And I hope people learn this versus what happened in Vietnam. Okay? So that's the real war. The real war is one of consciousness. And it's extremely important that if you really care for other people, that you give them the opportunity to come to our orientations, watch our videos, learn. Otherwise, watching this other shit, they're going to be drawn into fuckery and manipulated. That's where we're at. We're at a very, very important inflection point in world history. And it is my view that the swarm understands this. They don't just pick random dates. Choosing February 27, 28th, when Hitler burned down the Reichstag to get absolute power, do you not think that these people understand this? And by the way, there's a wonderful analysis that was done that shows that, I forget his name, there's a guy who's a Hitler-loving fascist. He is the one who designed the entire MAGA program. And Peter Thiel and all of these guys follow him. So the entire swarm is driven by the philosophy of fascism. They do not believe in democracy. Okay? They absolutely do not believe in democracy. They believe that the masses do not deserve democracy. That's Peter Thiel and J.D. Vance. I forget this guy's name, but they're driven by this core philosophy of absolute fascism. And that is why I believe the attack on Iran took place on February 27, 28 by design, because that is when Hitler burned down the Reichstag. It is not just random. We're living in extraordinary times. Our movement, as far as I know, is the only way, in this cohesive way, for people to figure shit out. So it becomes more preeminent for all of you to get involved. Actively, as a part of doing your other lives. I'm not saying drop everything, but we've created programs that you can be involved in. So that's what the real war is. And the good news is that we're here. We'll take some questions.
Okay, everyone, please put your questions in the chat. Do not raise your hand. We will only take questions if they are sent in the chat. Keep questions on the topic that Dr. Shiva has been talking about and has been discussed. message your questions to any of the co-hosts or Dr. Shiva so we can answer them.
Someone just said, I asked on X. Can you please put your questions here? Make it easy on us instead of putting
Jessica, somewhere else. Please put your question in the chat.
If you have a question, kindly put it here. Oh. Can you put can you actually ask a question, Rajiv? I get so many messages. I'm not sure what you're saying. Can a senator question why the US government sunk a ship? I'm not sure what you're saying. Can you ask it more precisely? Ask the whole question. Thank you. Okay, no questions? Rajiv's trying to get his. Oh, here we go. Someone's. Contemplating joining as a warrior scholar. Family is considered this is a cult. I'm not sure what that means. Can you guys write like sentences? Come on. How about a full sentence? Contemplating joining as a WS, family is considered. This is a cult movement. I don't know what that means. Please put it as a question so I can unravel it. So I don't want to assume what you're saying. What do you think about US, India-US relationship? Look, whenever people put the names of countries, India and US, let's separate that relationship. I think you mean the Indian government and the United States government, right? If that's the case, we have to ask, who does the US government represent? Who does the Indian government represent? Well, you're looking at two, you know, aspects or elements of the swarm. So the US government represents Zionism, Zionist interests, imperial interests, you know, the interests of monopolies, the interests of Silicon Valley, those kind of things, right? The Indian government represents not the interests of the Indian 1.6 billion Indian people, it represents the few again in India. So what do I think about those two? Well, to the extent that the Indian elite think that they can protect their interests and plunder more money, they will cooperate with others. And if you saw what was sort of disgraceful to watch was Modi going the day before, which means he knew this was going to occur, to Israel and literally begging and kissing Netanyahu's feet. So the relationship between India and Israel, I do know for a fact, there have been a lot of weapons promised to India, and the Indian elite, just like the United States elite, which unleashes white on white crime, the Indian elite unleashes brown on brown crime because they do not want the brown people of India uniting against the few. So in India, it's manifested in Hindu versus Muslims. You know, that's the thing. Oh, Hindus hate Muslims, Muslims hate Hindus. And that's how the politicians divide up the masses in India. So the relationship between the United States and India has always been one of a game where India has been used by the U.S. elites to have balance of power in that region, right? So the United States CIA would fund Pakistan to basically cause problems for India because they didn't want India becoming its own regional power. But now the U.S. elites need India, you say, because they've created something by attacking Iran and the other Middle East countries. So it's a relationship of power, profit, control. So to the extent that India can, the Indian elites can manipulate the masses, making it Hindu versus Muslim, which helps them divide people, then the U.S. will align itself with Israel and the United States, which is what it recently did. But please understand, if you can go through our program and understand the physics, and I think the other guy that asked, Truth Freedom Health is a program on system science, control systems theory, and it is applied to any type of system. So if someone thinks learning Newtonian mechanics is a cult, well, you're a fucking idiot. So you can tell your family members you're a fucking idiot. That's what you should tell them, okay? So that means you shouldn't learn math, you shouldn't learn physics, because if you learn math, which means you're learning numbers, and that's not good, okay? So this is a level of ignorance we've gotten to. What is a cult is MAGA. That's a fucking cult. The Democratic Party is a fucking cult. Left and right is a cult. Our, you know, maybe Suresh can find it. If anything, our symbol for our campaign is a middle finger, which is beyond left and right. So anyway, you have to use your brain. So that's why we recommend people get trained. Otherwise, you'll get lost. Sean Noland says, what do you think of commanders saying that this is to bring Jesus? They've already had the Haifa ritual. Do you think their end game is to rebuild the third temple? Yeah, so Sean, just go back. So you're getting involved in this Christian stuff, in this, all that stuff, Sean, is propaganda. Okay? Just go back to the fundamentals, that the goal is to make sure working people of whatever background they are, they can be Jewish, Muslim, Hindu, that whatever view that they believe, that they believe some supernatural power comes in, whatever books they follow, fine, have that. But what their goal is not any concern about people's religious beliefs, but to get people to fight. So all this stuff, bringing up the third temple, praying to this, talking about Armageddon, it has nothing, in fact, to do with Armageddon. It is to just get people fighting on these religious lines. And why do they want to do that? So we don't unite and shatter the swarm. So if you keep the eye on the prize on that fundamental core scientific theory, which is to divide people, all this other stuff you'll figure out. But if you delve into that and try to get into their world, oh, is a third temple going to be built? Is Armageddon coming? You're already fucked over, okay? You haven't understood the bigger picture. The goal is to have you talk about that stuff so you don't talk about how to build a movement to shatter the swarm. Okay? That's what this is about. Harvinder Singh from India said, thank you for broadening my view. Zach Ellis just posted something. If the swarm's goal with Iran is to hurt China by cutting off their oil supply, will China swarm use this time to invade Taiwan in response? Yeah, so Zach, that's possible. It's possible that China will work in other ways to affect. You see, the swarm has, remember when you, the reason we call it a swarm is that when you watch those starlings that move around, you know, a swarm of birds, it's not like they're always moving in one direction or another direction, right? Sometimes they have internal contradictions. Overall, they're together, right? When we rise up, I guarantee you they'll come after all of us. But among them, they're vying for their own power dynamics. So they could do many things. They could invade Taiwan. Maybe they'll go into Tibet, right? There's infinite possibilities how the swarm decides to modulate itself. And, it's no different than if you watch the movie The Godfather. You have these different mob bosses. They're all mob bosses that will definitely unite if the local neighborhoods came up against them. But how they decide to fight among themselves is infinite possibilities, okay? And we could abstractly try to look. Sure, maybe it's Taiwan. Maybe it's, not letting the United States have access to rare earth metals. Okay. There's many, many possibilities. They have infinite creativity, the swarm. Tanya Sef, have you watched the movie God Forbid? No, I haven't. Thank you. I'll look into it. Joanne says, is this an ongoing psychological warfare and hypnosis on the American people regarding the video of the religious zealot? There are groups organizing this Sunday in many cities to protest the government. I'll be out there handing out TFH cards and sign. Anyone else participating? Yeah. So what's going to happen is what happens is when things like this occur, the opposing party, in this case, it would be the Democratic Party, will try to take the lead on being anti-war. Okay. But the Democratic Party is not the party against war. Neither is it the party against Israel. But they will try to act like they are. This idiot called Nick Fuentes, he was on this Alex Jones show, and Alex Jones suddenly is anti-Zionist when Alex Jones was always pro-Zionist. Okay? And then he goes, what do you think, Nick? Nick says, yes. Big MAGA supporter. Okay? Fanatical idiot. He says, well, what are you going to do? He goes, well, in 2026, I'm going to make sure Democrats win. I mean, can you believe this idiocracy? So they think it's Republican versus Democrat. So it's really important to understand that when the events of Iran are taking place, they'll try to make it a Republican thing. Republican bad, Democrat good. And the Democrats will try to seize control of the anti-war movements, guaranteed. But the Democratic Party is neither anti-war or anti-Zionism. It's pro-war, pro-Zionist. And they'll do this. In fact, the swarm will support this because they do not want us raising our consciousness, breaking away from either party, and building a bottoms-up movement. That's what our campaign is about. Shiva for Senate is not a Senate campaign. It's an opportunity to build a bottoms-up movement. Let's go to Suresh. Has got a bunch of things that are coming. It's because he tracks our online feed. He says, Dr. Shiva, do you think the next step will become martial law before the elections? That's one. Let me go through all of them. Do you think U.S. and Israel are prepared to use nuclear weapons? So that was, first one was Melody Dawn. So I just put out this book. And by the way, if you're a warrior scholar, we're going to give it away, at least the ebook online. You can get it. But the fundamental issue is that since 1676, in the United States at least, whenever people united against the swarm, they manufactured racism to divide people. So the history of the swarm, again, this is science that we teach, is it goes to divide people, is to keep people's wages low so they can't grow. And the third piece is to expand state power and build the police state. So at every iteration that the swarm creates the false enemy, they use that to divide people, to suppress people's wages, and to expand state power. So at one point, the Native Americans were bad. So they divided the natives from the blacks and the whites. They exploited people, plundered their land, equivalent of suppressing wages, the exploitation piece. And in that process, they created infrastructure. The infrastructure that was used to butcher the Native Americans and police them was later used against black people and white people. Then later on, the next generation of immigrants, the Italians were bad, the Irish were bad. But the point is, at each phase, they expand more and more state power. In the modern situation, with this so-called ICE raids, to answer your question, or with the pro-Palestinian movements that took place, it was used to attack the quote-unquote terrorists. Hamas was behind supposedly these Palestinian movements, is false, but to expand state power. So, of course, they will try to. So what we saw in these two incidents with the ICE in Minneapolis and with the suppression of the pro-Palestinian protesters was to get people used to saying, if you protest, we'll bash your heads in. That's what this was about. Next question is, do you think U.S. are prepared? Definitely. Of course. They don't give a fuck about anyone, right? There's only one country which dropped two nuclear bombs on another country, okay? That was the United States government. What can we do, Jay Stevens said, to help others and stop the killing of human beings by these so-called elites? So, Suresh, you may want to invite him. Number one, it's a great question. What can we do to help others and stop? Basically, Jay is revealing what happens at a certain point in life. Try to say, what the fuck can I do? And when you get to that point, as we keep repeating, those in power will tell you, file a lawsuit, run for office. We give the actual way you change the world, which is you must build a bottoms-up movement. And if you decide to do the other two things, without a bottoms-up movement, you will surely fail. So first of all, Jay, you need to understand what is a bottoms-up movement, why we need to build it. In order to do that, you have to understand system science, okay? Which is the science of how the universe operates. It's a science of all systems operate. Once you understand that core theory, you also need a community of people who can continually educate you, and then you'll learn what actions you can actually take. But you need all those three pieces, which is what our institution provides. Okay, no different than going and learning how to be an electrician, how to be a plumber. So you have to study this and learn this. Fortunately, because we have put that together, you don't have to spend a lifetime going to 50 different places. We've organized that. So all I can tell you is get educated or be enslaved. Do you think this has to do, Taitam said, do you think this has to do with anything to do with the breakup of Russia still, or is this something different? No. In 1972, as I've mentioned before, Jimmy Carter's theoretician, Zbigniew Brzezinski, laid out a plan, which basically said we must destroy Russia. Russia's too big. They have too much power. We must separate them. So the Iran, Russia, China, particularly Iran, by the way, doesn't follow the standard banking systems. Right. They follow there. They don't like the Federal Reserve. They do their own thing. Right. So anyone who wants to break free of that is subject to all sorts of inequities by the swarm. But no, it's definitely related to that. Next one is Americans are supporting Palestinians. Does that mean the bankers are going to take us down? Well, no. What it means is, as I mentioned, it's a great question you're asking. We're headed into this consciousness domain. So for the first time in US history, Americans across the board, left, right, you know, are recognizing something is really fucking wrong. And the graph that I showed you is a signal which says Americans are figuring this out. And the bankers, the Zionists, and those in power, when they see that happening, see, they're, if you study control system theory, they're watching this. So they're seeing, wow, there's a disturbance in the swarm. People aren't following them. So when the swarm gets desperate, they will do what we saw Trump do, which is to go start a war. Okay? Netanyahu did that to divert people. So to the extent you're saying that doesn't mean the bankers are going to take us down, where they're going to try, but that's what's going on. That's why the Iran versus US Israel is not just a war. It's much, much deeper. What's your opinion, this rush to build data centers, considering how resource demanding they are and destructive to the environment? So towers were being constructed everywhere during Trump's lockdown. Yeah. So look, again, going back to maximizing power profit control, which means that you do anything possible to get make as much money. Not only do you want to make as much money, but you want to make profitable revenue. So profitable revenue is the revenue you make minus expenses, you get profit. Revenue minus expenses is profit. Well, labor, the cost of labor for most of imperialism is a cost that reduces their profit. So a large monopoly company in a field, as they grow, they're like, wow, we have to keep growing and growing and growing for our stock price to go up. To growing means more profit. Well, how do you really increase profit? You reduce the cost of labor. Okay, we're doing labor in the US, if it's a US company. Let's ship it to China. Let's ship it to Vietnam, then to the Philippines and Africa. You keep going wherever the labor is cheap. That's how you increase profit. But what happens after you've depleted all that? Well, then you say, do I need humans? Why not get rid of these humans and then use machines? So that's where we're at right now. So let's say a human being takes X units of energy to do a task. Now, if you can have AI do that same task at Y units of energy, and if Y minus X is negative, which means less energy, Y is less than X, that's profitable. So that's where we're at. The swarm is trying to figure out, why, I got this human being, he's costing me, I have to pay him X dollars for Y units of energy. Well, what is that Y units? It's the food that it takes to keep that human being going. It's the Social Security, the Medicare. Oh, I got to pay this human being all this money during a lifetime to extract so much units of energy, or I have to put so much units of energy to get so much units of profit. Now, if they can say, wow, I can build a data center, and when I look at all these units of labor, it's cheaper. They don't need humans. Now, this is a very interesting question. Is that energy going to be less? And that's what you're asking. So that's what the swarm is trying to figure out. Well, maybe we should build nuclear power plants. Maybe they're thinking we put these data centers on space stations out in space. This is an idea where the data centers are powered by the sun's energy, solar energy. So the swarm is trying to figure out, for the same unit of labor, can I get it cheaper? And that's why this energy discussion is going to be where it's going to go. But the interest is to, in that model, if they figure out it's much cheaper, depopulation makes a lot of sense. Okay, let's finish up with a couple more here, and then we're done. Jorge Garin says, thank you for using knowledge and common sense to unify people. Great, Jorge, and everyone listening, I appreciate the kind compliments, but get involved, okay? Everyone who's communicating with these people, you know, start with the Get Off the Plantation course. Get involved with the community, but we have things that you guys can do. Rajiv is back. He says, sorry, my Zoom link wasn't allowing me to ask or type. Oh, it's no different than US getting into World War II because Pearl Harbor was attacked and there was a treaty, and Germany and US went to war without any common borders. Can a single senator raise that issue, given that you're not party line? Yeah, so Rajiv, first of all, getting back to World War II, if you really look at it, Japan, the way they suckered Japan into the war was the United States, after World War I, had become isolationist. The masses of American people did not want to fight any more wars. They said, we don't want to fight war. World War I was horrible. So no American wanted to go to another war. So Churchill and the European forces, which were fighting Germany and wanted to pull the United States in. So it turns out, I forget there's a Secretary of Commerce or Energy, forget this guy's name. The United States always had a long history, a treaty to give Japan diesel fuel. Well, Churchill and Roosevelt gets called to Britain and they're having a meeting, and somehow the treaty or the order, which would always give Japan, which was always rubber stamped, suddenly a new guy gets replaced while Roosevelt's away, and he basically ixnays the delivery of diesel fuel to Japan. Japan cannot survive a few days without diesel. Japan is incensed this occurred. And Japan, therefore, bombs Pearl Harbor. So the United States did something. It's a very interesting question. Did Churchill make all of this occur to sucker the United States in? But it was done to get Japan so upset that they bombed Pearl Harbor. That's the background that actually took place. But the question is, can a U.S. senator... Rajiv... I know you and I have spoken, but I can't overemphasize, I mean, you're a smart guy, but you should go through the Warrior Scholar training because you need to understand system science. Here's the core of what we talk about. My running for U.S. Senate and winning it would be an illusion to think after I won, somehow I'm going to work and write bills and somehow the Senate is going to change because of that. Most of you know the extraordinary work we've done without even having a Senate seat to date. Having a Senate seat gives you immense visibility, a platform. In fact, a United States senator, if you look at our website, has immense powers that they can invoke. The reality is 99 of the other senators don't do jack shit. They don't even invoke the powers that they have, investigations, etc. Independently, they can do. So Rajiv, as a U.S. senator, I would start exercising those powers. I wouldn't care to be on their committees and everyone, you know, scratching each other's back. That's what goes on now. I hope you know that the United States Senate, every senator is scratching every other senator's back. That's why they're always on the same, club. I don't plan on doing that. I plan on using that United States Senate seat to educate, you know, millions per day. I would do videos like this as I do today. Nothing's going to change, but you can reach a lot more people. You can expose a lot more. You can use the powers of the Senate seat to do extraordinary development of a bottoms-up movement. Anyway, it's 10:30, but it's good questions. But in summary, the key takeaways are our movement and the world, the way the world is going to change is raising consciousness. That is what a movement is. It's about raising consciousness. And it happens by every little, as I say, dropping these pebbles in the water. By the way, an analogy that Mike Adams stole, okay, and put it in his book. Mike Adams, by the way, literally took all my videos, sucked it into AI, wrote a book called Shatter the Swarm. We've already sent him a cease and desist notice, and it's going to escalate if he doesn't fucking take care of this ASAP, okay? Nonetheless, this is about raising consciousness. That's what our curriculum is about. And that is what this discussion is about. So when you see things manifest in the physical world, recognize it is a reflection of consciousness. And if you want to raise your consciousness and you want to fundamentally change the world, this is a place to be. And the problem is a lot of smart people who think they know it all, this is a whole new body of knowledge. This is like if you're a civil engineer and you're telling somebody you got to go learn, you know, electrical engineering, they say, oh, I know it. I went to engineering school. No, you don't. This is a new body of knowledge. So please be humble and learn this. And you can be of great value to others. So anyway, that's today's program. And what we've discussed today is what the real war is, how you can participate. We have this infrastructure. Please be part of it. And by the way, for all of you guys, Jorge, Rajiv, Mr. Singh and others, thank you for asking these great questions. And I invite you to invite others to come and participate. All of you, wherever you are, we've set up infrastructure. You can make phone calls for us, for the U.S. Senate campaign, and you can help. So we're giving you an opportunity. Don't think you're doing something for me to get elected. It's really an opportunity for you to be part of a community and participate. So take advantage of that, because it's so easy now with these electronic devices for everyone to live alone, stay in their homes, and be completely disconnected in a so-called connected world. That's what the irony is. So, all right. Thank you, everyone. Be well. Be the light. We have a number of events coming up, but get involved. If all of you can put up some of the things that how people can get involved in the campaign and volunteer and participate, let them know. Thank you. Be well.
Thank you so much, Dr. Shiva.
We have allowed our country to be taken over from within, and the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves, because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you, deep down inside them, that you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to wake up to, and we need to all unite, working people. There's only one movement that can do that.
And that is the movement that we started creating here in Massachusetts, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health. Look, I've been a student of politics since I was a four-year-old kid, studying revolutionary movements, left wing, right wing. There's a physics, there's a nuclear science to destroying the establishment. To build a bridge, you need to understand Newton's equation. You need to understand the laws of gravity. You need to understand Poisson's ratio. There is a way to build a revolution. And that's why I put this together. My goal is to train an army of truth, freedom, and health leaders. We don't need followers like social media. We need leaders, but they need training because the educational system does not teach them history, nothing. So in 3 hours, that's what I've started doing. That's the solution. Wow. We got to train people first with understanding what a system is, the dynamics of all systems that affect nature. The second is understanding the interconnection between truth, freedom, and health. Freedom is the ability to move freely, communicate freely, talk freely. Without freedom, you cannot convert ideas, hypothesis into truth, which is science. And without freedom, you can't really get to truth. And without truth, you make up fake problems and fake solutions, which means you destroy our health. And without health, which is the infrastructure of us and our body, you can't fight for freedom. Truth, freedom, health. Third concept is it has to be bottoms up. Working people, people who work uniting. And what the right wing has done is whenever you say working people unite, that must be communist. Meanwhile, they've let the Democrats run unions, which suppress workers, completely corrupt. But when you look at the arc of American history, it's been when working people came up. We need to go local. Every solution I'm coming up with is a part of this movement. We're giving the science, which is the truth, and then we tell people what they can do on the ground. Like with election fraud, you don't need to wait for some lawyer. Our goal is to train people to go local, to go local, to go local, fight locally. Forget lawyers, forget politicians, forget celebrities. You got to learn politics, and there is a science to it. They lock us down, we should be ready to shut them down. And the fourth part of this principle is the not so obvious establishment. So when you look at a system, there's always something that disturbs you from getting to your goal. Well, the biggest disturbance is the not so obvious establishment, which are those people who claim they're for you on the left and the right. The Al Sharptons who tell black people I'm for you, the Tucker Carlsons. Do you think any true anti-establishment person will ever be on Fox or CNN? I don't think so. They both mislead working people back into the establishment. Without this solid understanding of political physics and theory, you're screwed. You're going to follow on the left wing Bernie Sanders. Oh, he said something. Or Robert Kennedy. Scumbags. Or you're going to follow some right-wing talk show host. They're not going to lead us to liberation. It's us. We're building a bottoms-up movement. And that political physics, it's a nuclear science of change. Bottoms up. We have to organize to understand that there is people who talk a good game and then look at what they actually do, left and right. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity may say some good things, but I don't see the urgency in his voice to get something done. And it can only come when you weaponize yourself with the right knowledge. You need to be able to identify a rat. You know, Christ didn't go after the Romans, right? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who screwed him up. His own quote-unquote people. And that's where we're at. So these four concepts I've built into a curriculum where people can go to truthfreedomhelp.com, and it's an educational program. We need to train people in political theory. You need to have physics, and I've created that curriculum. People need to get educated. We need to get educated fast. And within a half an hour, I can teach people. 2 years of MIT control systems, I teach people those concepts. Then I apply it, anyone can understand it. And then you say, oh, I gotta build a bottoms-up movement. They have to get politically astute, and then they have to go locally and act, not sit there on social media. They have to act locally, defy locally, do civil obedience locally, but with knowledge on how to build a movement. Now, the Senate campaign's expanded to the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health, and they can find it on truthfreedomhelp.com, so people can sign in. They can get access to a bunch of videos. If they want to take a course and become a Truth, Freedom, Health leader, I offer a full scholarship there, but we want people to make a commitment that they'll study, that they'll get certified, that they'll go do activities on the ground. So go to truthfreedomhelp.com. Welcome to VA Shiva. VA Shiva is a product of my journey across East and West, science and tradition, ancient and modern, that brings you the science of systems so you can become a force for truth, freedom, health. VA Shiva is a platform of revolutionary education
community building, and weaponry for unleashing local activism. My journey to VA Shiva begins in the chaos of Bombay, where I experienced diverse religions, languages, castes, and in a small village that had no running water, no electricity, where my grandmother, a poor village farmer, practiced Siddha, an ancient system of Indian medicine over 10,000 years old. She observed one's face, the art of Samudrika Lakshanam, to understand a body's unique constitution, allowing her to deliver the right medicine for the right person at the right time. Watching my grandmother heal others, I was inspired to study medicine, but I was also aware of the corrupt caste system of India, which denigrated a human being, where my family were considered low caste untouchables, where one's birth determined one's destiny. The grit and determination of my mother and father led them to get educated and to come to America, a one in a trillion event. Their actions inspired me to work hard and excel. While in ninth grade, I attended New York University in a computer science program, and subsequently, at the age of 14, was given a full-time job as a research fellow at what is now known as Rutgers Medical School in the heart of Newark, New Jersey. There, I investigated the system of sleep using mathematics, computer science, and biology for sudden infant death syndrome. It was there in Newark where I invented email when I was the first to convert every feature of the physical, paper-based inner office mail system, including inbox, outbox, memo, carbon copy, blind carbon copy, attachments, into its electronic equivalent, a system which I named email, a term that I was the first to coin. On August 30th, 1982, I was awarded the first U.S. copyright for the invention of this system, recognizing me as the inventor of email. At that time, copyright was the only way to protect software inventions. I went on to MIT, where I earned 4 degrees across multiple systems of engineering, electrical, mechanical, design, biological. That training led me to invent many other systems for advancing humankind. Echomail, the world's first intelligent email management system. Cytosolve, a computational biology system for eliminating animal testing to discover new medicines faster, cheaper, and safer. And to the creation of a whole systems methodology for certifying clean food. These innovations led me back on a Fulbright to India, where I discovered the missing link between Eastern medicine and Western systems theory, honoring my grandmother, to develop Your Body, Your System, a powerful tool that will help you understand how your body is a system and how the inputs of food, supplements, and exercise bring your body back to its natural system state. And Systems Health, an integrative educational discipline that is now integrated into the VA Shiva platform that will enable you to learn the science of systems, the science of everything, be it your body as a system or our society and politics as a system, to reveal the foundational interrelationships between truth, freedom, health. Now is the time for you to be the light, learn the science of systems, build community, and weaponize yourself to unleash the activism necessary to deliver truth, freedom, health in your local community. Welcome to VA Shiva.